The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, Ryan Tubridy with you this Thursday morning. It's the 17th of October 2019. It's 6 minutes past nine. We're here till 10. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie. For whatever reason. Now, the news last night featured a lovely piece about a lady called Nancy Stewart. Nancy Stewart is 106 years old. And she gave a lovely interview. She's from Clonard, by the way, near Kinnegad on the Meath, West Meath border. And she gave a lovely interview talking about life and her observations on the world. And I think that Nancy represents the new shift generationally in the world we live in today, where people are getting older, but no longer is the things like is the 80 point a point of great age anymore. I think that there was a time when 70 was considered old. I think 80 is nearly now not considered that old. We're heading towards 90 to be considered old. I think I just the more octogenarians I meet, the younger they look, the more sprightly they are in outlook. I think there's something changing and shifting before our eyes. So whoever you are, Nancy, we don't know each other, but I loved watching you last night, surrounded with your family and your cake and your happiness, and you brought a smile to my face, and I thought, fair play. What a wonderful woman. And there's another wonderful woman called Nellie Brown, featured in the Irish Examiner today. And Nellie's 101. This is what I'm talking about. Nellie is, she marked her 101st birthday last weekend, celebrating the art of apples. I mean, think of the simplicity of that. We talked about apples on Tuesday from Henrietta Street, from those Coakley apples from Tintern Abbey. Given to me by a very kind listener, and I've been having one a day and no sign of the doctor, so thank you for that. And the point of all of this is that the simplicity of and the beauty of life for Nelly, growing apples aged 101, isn't that what we'd all like to be doing? I mean, at that age, just thinking, I hope they're good today. I wonder how many fell off the tree. Putting them aside and growing trees with the community. That's the dream, isn't it? Norna Siggins is writing about her today. So, this lovely woman, Nellie Brown, you see her, you know, even the photograph of her from Haney Marzouk in the picture in the paper today, even looking at her, you just know she's happy. Or as Billy Connolly would have said yesterday, content, which is even better than happiness. And she is doing this, celebrating the art of apples as part of a community project in Salt Hill in gorgeous Galway. Oula Boalia, I think it's called, is a project. And it got Galway 2020 funding under its Small Towns Big Ideas programme. It involves 100 neighbours growing apples in their gardens and plan to plant a community orchard on local authority land. That's it. You can read the details in the Examiner if you wish, but I just felt there they both are two women who caught my attention, both over 100 and both enjoying life and in some ways the simple pleasures of life. It's very, very nice indeed. Trickier time for schools who are struggling, according to the Irish Times this morning, struggling to attract applicants for the position of principal. No one really wants to be the principal of the school. I can understand this, actually. It's due to growing workloads, growing responsibilities, and the representative group for secondary school principals are saying that the shortage of teachers willing to take on the role of principal will be the next emergency in education. I can see why, because you're just asked to do just a little bit more, then a little bit more, a little bit more, and it's a massive role. I always find myself referring to principals as prime ministers by accident when I'm referring to the school. The prime minister, principal in your school, I'd say. And there is a significant issue, we're told this morning, with the recruitment and retention of our school leaders. There are too few applicants for the position of principal. They say, and we can't ignore this, we need to take serious notice of the impact of an ever-expanding workload on the welfare of our school leaders. We always talk about my respect and time for teachers. But principals are another level altogether because they have to shoulder the burden of running the operation. And when you go into a school, when I often do, I was in a lovely school on Monday called St. Bridget's in the Coombe. And I went around to each class, primary school, into each class with teachers and the principal. And we wandered around and said hello and had a bit of messing. And And you know as soon as you walk into the school if the principal has it right in terms of leadership and in terms of vibe and management. And that was one of those schools where they got it right. Teachers happy, school good, kids polite and in good shape. So it's a critical job, but it would appear not everyone wants it. So there you are. World Gone Mad. A few things spotted today about the World Gone Mad. One is, and I didn't refer to it, but I just thought the England-Bulgaria game, I'm going back a couple of days, but just because it's just an accumulation of things going just horrible, was the race, the racial abuse from the stand at that match, which I find it really hard to fathom that people could actually do that, make those noises, make those sounds against a player who looks different to you. I just can't get my head around. I just thought we would evolve somehow in 2019 as people, broadly speaking, but it's just not happening. In fact, I think we're regressing. There's footage doing the rounds this morning online of a tube in London. I don't know if you've seen it already, but if you haven't, so the climate people are not, I don't want to tarnish them all, but the Action Extinction group are climbing on top of the tubes, the trains, and this isn't about, I'm not making a judgment call on anyone or anything here before everyone gets too excited. It's merely just an observation of what I saw. So you have the Extinction Rebellion people up on tops of the tube on the trains, and then you have the commuters, early morning commuters, looking up at them saying, you're now stopping everything, and they go mad and start flinging cups of coffee and tea at them. That's not the answer either, I would have thought. But then they start pulling them off the train. The guys are kicking back. And then there's a mob. It reminded me of ancient Rome in the Colosseum. Like when the mob get angry, they didn't like what happened and they stormed the pitch. It's quite shocking to see. And it's just more of this ugliness in the world. It's really quite something. Then I was watching Donald Trump. He had the president of Italy by his side as he was talking. He was talking about this. I don't know if you heard about this boy who was killed in a man who was killed in a car crash, and his parents went over to killed by an American diplomat who then skedaddled back to America. And the boy's parents went over to meet Trump yesterday, and he had the person who caused the crash in another room asked, did you want to meet them? They said no. They're now saying they felt ambushed by Trump because of the cameras that were all out to have a look. And he said that they said they rejected his offer of bringing in this woman to say hello to them. And then he went on to say that, well, you know, the roads are on the other side. They drive on the wrong side of the road over in the UK a lot, and that's the problem. And you can see why accidents like this can happen. And strange days, strange days. Caroline Flack, I don't know if any of you have heard of her. A lot of you will have. She's a presenter of different programmes. But her newest programme has got to be the most bonkers. She's going to be the face of a Channel 4 show called Sur Jury. And I'm saying it like that on purpose. Surjury. Sur Jury. This will see contestants attempting to win plastic surgery that they couldn't normally afford for free. What? The world got mad stuff. I'm not saying political correctness got mad. I'm saying the world has gone kind of bonkers. The catch is, these contestants have to convince a jury to sign off on their dream body with a majority vote of at least 75%. And if they manage to win the panel of strangers over, the show signs off on the procedures and the documents, and then they document the transformation of the person. This is Operation Transformation gone wrong, right? So as the press release says, from bum lifts to nose jobs, sculpted abs to breast enlargements, the Sur Jury allows people to explore their choices more thoroughly. I'm not mad about that, to be honest with you. But then it's not one for me. Okay, and then I like this because the word prude, you don't hear prude being bandied about too often. You don't want to be called a prude. But there's a piece by Claire Cohen today which says, why I knew that prudes like me would finally have our day. And she's talking about two characters in particular. One is Shiv in Succession, a programme I've been talking about quite a lot because it's the most glorious drama I've seen on television for years. And the other is Fleabag, which I haven't seen, but I've been asked by friends and colleagues, please watch it. So I'll get to it eventually. And the two characters I've just mentioned, the Phoebe Waller character and Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Shiv are both considered to be prudes in their clothing, because I know Shiv is no prude. We know from the last episode of Succession that she certainly isn't. Welcome to the era, says Claire Cohen, of understated dressing, where we modest types are finally having our moment. Let's call it prude core. And boiler suits like the ones that Phoebe Waller-Bridge have been spotted in, everyone from Gwyneth Paltrow to Margot Robbie. My favourite, she says, is a forest green number by LF Markey. Zips right up to the neck and has long arms and sleeves. Almost every inch of flesh is covered. It's like an adult baby grow. In fact, the only problem is I realised the first time I wore it on the train, and a woman in a near identical outfit, aside from her nursing badge, sat beside me, is that I look like a paramedic still, rather than a Love Island contestant. And she goes on to say that one of the biggest misconceptions about understated dressing remains that you have to hide your personality to be a prude. Far from it. While many of the clothes in our wardrobes might be technically modest, they can still be attention-grabbing. Demure, in 2019, she writes, can still mean daring. All right, then. Well, you can have a think about that if you wish. And what else for you? I'm going to leave it at that, other than to say that Elton John's book means that he's in the news a lot at the moment. And he was saying the other day in an interview that he feels that the new version of The Lion King was a huge disappointment. And he had did the music for the original wonderful cartoon, which we all love, and the music from which we all love, obviously. And he said the new version of The Lion King was a huge disappointment because I believe they messed the music up. Music was so much a part of the original, and the music in the current film didn't have the same impact. The magic and joy were lost. The new Lion King soundtrack and Beyoncé's The Lion King, The Gift, both struggled commercially in comparison to the movie and previous music that inspired both projects, we're told today. Elton John said the new soundtrack fell out of the charts so quickly, despite the massive box office success. I wish I'd been invited to the party more, but the creative vision for the film and its music was different this time around, and I wasn't really welcomed or treated with the same level of respect. And that makes me extremely sad. I'm so happy, he says, that the right spirit for the music lives on with the Lion King stage musical, which I have seen, and it is tremendous, and the music is wonderful, and the film is magic. We like it a lot. Listen, John, Saturday night's all right for fighting. Now, Paul Laverty is our guest this morning. We'll see him in a second. I was just talking to him a few minutes ago. He's a screenwriter, longtime collaborator with the film director, Ken Loach. And they have collaborated for their latest film called Sorry We Missed You. I went to see it yesterday with a view to talking to Paul. And really, it's grim. But I say that as a compliment, because it is about a delivery driver, his wife, their two children, and the difficulty it is to keep it going, keep the show on the road, keep your life intact, despite the demands of what's commonly called now the gig economy, 0 hours contract. If any of that affects you, you will want to listen to what Paul has to say in a few minutes' time, because it's pretty shocking stuff and not kind at all. But we'll talk to Paul about that in a few minutes' time. Wonderful, a wonderful guy, great mind, and as I say, bring that to you in a minute. The tube footage I was looking at this morning with regard to the Extinction Rebellion people and the commuters. A text from Paul says, I just saw the tube footage. All I could think of was Lord of the Flies. That's it. That's what it feels like. It's the mob, and yet it's not the mob. It's people going to work. And they're furious, which I suppose makes you a mob. But it was like kind of Twitter come to life. You know, it was quite unnerving. They just were kind of seemed to be feasting on someone they didn't agree with. But no one's listening. This is the thing. The guy on the train wasn't getting into a dialogue with the people on the platform. And what do? Well, then the guy on the train sit on the roof of the train, starts kicking the people, trying to drag him down. And then they do drag him down and they start kicking him. What happened to civil discourse? Why aren't people talking to each other, listening to each other? It just seems incredible. I just saw, says the text, that tube video, and it has unnerved me. I thought they were going to kill the guy that they pulled off the tube. A woman screaming at the commuters to leave him alone. Yeah, it's disturbing. It's not nothing nice about it. Kerry Listener says, most people acknowledge that we must bring change in relation to the climate, but promoting hysteria and terror is not the way. We cannot just stop everything straight away. Age and so on. Siobhan says, I'm 64, my husband is 81. We're both very content, fit and well. And just back from our 8th cruise. Last year we went back to Turkey, Morocco and Egypt for his 80th birthday. Also a banquet in Bunratty. We live life to the full while we still can. You're doing it right. A school principal, meanwhile, says Hugh doesn't need to be a teacher. It's like a business, and a good business manager who can manage people, a building, etc., would be more than capable of running that business. So let the teachers teach. And Kathy in Galway says, I was just having a lovely bowl of porridge with my own apples and honey from my hardworking bees. Smugness overload? Little shade of it, but your self-awareness almost lets you off this smug hook, the hook of smugness. Also, it's kind of impressive that you've got bees that are making your honey. So, Kathy, I'm torn between several emotions, but I think you're winning. And I'm going to give you this little medal here to say, keep on going. I like your style. And now you know the reason why they call them Granny Smiths. Well, I've never thought of that, but there's an element of truth. 26 minutes past 9. We'll be back shortly.